is the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Text this evening is the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Beloved of God, one of the signs of the godlessness of this age is certainly disobedience to parents. This is also, according to Scripture, one of the signs of the end times. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that the great sign of the fact that the rebellion of men that began in the Garden of Eden and grows organically throughout history, and that comes to its climax at the end, is in lawlessness in every way. And he gives especially this as the chief example of that lawlessness, the acceptance of homosexuality, that even the law of God revealed in nature, a man and a woman, is overturned. But a few verses later in that chapter, by inspiration, the apostle also says this will be the case with respect to the lawlessness of the end. We'll be backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then this, disobedient to parents. And again, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, when the Apostle Paul describes the last days, he again returns to that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Surely we live in those last days. This is a lawless age. And the breakdown, the law of God for the family, as this series is on the covenant and the family. The breakdown of God's law for the family is so pronounced that the whole of Western civilization really will not be able to sustain it, relatively speaking, all that much longer. The state will continue to take on the role of parents more and more, for the children in homes will never really grow up, ever having been raised in submission to a proper set of parents for their growth and development. And tyranny will continue to be the result more and more and more until, if unless Christ tarries, something changes, rise of Antichrist himself. How different, beloved, the Reformed covenantal home, as we have examined it in Scripture, is and will be in the midst of this world, in the midst even of the church world, and perhaps even, God forbid it, this congregation. How strikingly different is a father who actually fathers his children, teaching the doctrines of the faith as opposed to the false doctrine, and preserving and protecting those children under those truths in the church. How different the home where the Reformed godly mother actually takes up her calling to be a keeper of her home for the sake of her family and for the sake of the church. The future of the church, so much of which depends on her work. And how different the Reformed covenantal home where children honor and obey their parents. The apostasy of the age at least affords this. Beloved, there is an opportunity, is there not, to show a strikingly different way that is wonderful, beautiful, lovely. The truly Reformed, therefore biblical home is striking, absolutely striking, and will continue to be so strikingly different, so foreign, so antithetical in this day and age, that it can't help but attract some attention to itself. There's an opportunity to witness in the very fact that we live in our families the way the Scriptures call us to live in our families. And that goes for you children here too. Children, you have an opportunity to be so different in your obedience to God's Word, in your role in the covenantal home. And you have a role, a very important role in the covenantal home. We've been talking a lot about roles in this series. Husband, wife, father, mother, you have a role too. A very important role, a role that does a glorious thing that pictures the very work of Jesus Christ Himself in His covenant. And that role is given to you by God. It's not given to you by me, by the minister. It's not given to you even by your parents, but by God Himself. You must honor and obey your parents and the Lord. And when you live that way, you too will be so antithetical, so strikingly different, that you will shine like a light in the midst of a rebellious and dark age. And will show forth the glory of Jehovah God. So let's look tonight at the calling of covenant children. Let's notice first the calling, second the reasons given for that calling, and then third, the blessing in the way of carrying out that calling. Calling of covenant children, calling, the reasons, and the blessing. First thing we have to answer tonight is the question, to whom is this text really addressed? It speaks of children. Who are these children? The first thing that we can say is that it is addressed to children of the church. The text itself is not addressed to all children everywhere, although of course it is the calling of all children to obey their parents. But this text is particularly addressed to covenant children, children of the Church of Christ, children who in God's sovereign grace are regenerated as part of the grand fulfillment of His covenant promise in the line of generations. The text says that these children are to obey in the Lord. Only children in whom Christ is working can obey in the Lord. In addition to that, notice that the apostle here is writing an epistle that is to be read as the authoritative word of God in the church in Ephesus. And in part of this epistle to the church in Ephesus, he addresses the children who will be present for the reading of that in the church. The text is not addressed to all children over the face of the earth, but the children of the church. And the apostle is therefore assuming that the children of the church are going to be there in church to hear this epistle, this word of God read in the covenantal assembly of worship. Further proof, by the way, of the unbiblical nature of children's church, taking the children out of the worship service to go do something else. The apostle assumed that the children would be in the assembly with their parents for this epistle to be read, and so he addressed part of it to the children of the church. Because they are the church. They're the future of the church. But they're also the church. They're part of the church as children. They're not just the potential church, or potentially will be the church one day, but they are right now the church of Jesus Christ. And that's how we view you, children, who are here this evening. Even if there are exceptions to that, as there was in Ephesus, no doubt too. The Word of God comes to you as children who can understand that Word and who can heed that Word, who are expected to heed that Word as members of the covenant of grace. The command comes to children of all ages in the church. The Greek word here for children does not just refer to the five-year-olds in the congregation, but all children. There is a Greek word that refers to just the little ones, but it's not the word that's used here. It's referring to all those who are under the sphere of their parents' influence. Maybe especially in the parental home. Older ones who are under that sphere of influence in the parental home too. The command comes to you too. Not just to the little ones, but to the teenagers as well. And really, you have a very great responsibility with this commandment in your home. Sometimes we forget about that. The older ones are an example to the younger ones and must be an example. You are an example, whether for good or bad. And you must be an example for good, partly in this way too, in your obedience to your parents in the covenantal home. Even really adult children, of course, are called to heed the biblical advice of their parents, even though they're out of the home, adults, and the relationship is different now, of course. And the text has something to say to even adult children in that way to a certain extent. But in the main, the text comes to the young and the teenagers, yet in the parental home, under their direct influence. And the command comes with regard to your parents, plural. Made explicit in verse 2, father and mother, both of them. It's not just the mother that you're supposed to obey in your home, and then you view your father as the world views fathers, as a bumbling fool, really, who's to be disregarded and who really is not much different than you, a child, in that home. Fathers, of course, must never give occasion for their children to look at them that way. Must be respectable and honorable as the head of your home. Children and teenagers must honor and obey their father. And not just their father either, but their mother too they must obey. And not only on Mother's Day, but on every day. Sometimes it can go the other way in a home, that children will heed the word of father, but sort of disregard the word of mother, walk all over mother, disrespect mother. Maybe only listen to her if dad's around, but other than that, ignore what she has to say. God says, honor your father and your mother. And a mother must take up her responsibility and authority in the home with that calling too. But children, your parents are one flesh. Honor and obey both of them before the Lord. Honor them, says verse 2, honor them. Honoring is a matter of the heart. It's a heart calling. To honor means to revere, to respect, to hold in high regard, and to treat that way. The word for honor literally means to carry great weight, to be heavy. In other words, to honor them is to look at them as in a great and high position. The Scripture has often used this word honor with respect to those who hold offices, special offices. 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says, "Fear God, honor the king." 1 Timothy 5, 17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine." And it uses this word honor now with respect to parents too, because parents are in an office. They're office bearers of a different kind, but office bearers. An office of authority, leadership in your home. And that demands, therefore, your reverence and respect. You're under them, and they are over you because they are in this office, and you must respect them for that office they hold. After all, it's God Himself who puts them in this office. And therefore, those parents, really, because this is the idea of an office, they represent God to you in that home. They must. God Himself has entrusted the care of you children to these parents. And in that office, they must represent God to you. God said, "I care about the children of the church. I care about the children of the covenant. And I care about this home and this family. And so I put myself in this home, in the parents that I give there." And that's real children, very real. They stand for Him in your home, and you must see Him in them. So that very really, and this isn't a joke, children, when they say to you, "Go clean your room," God Himself tells you to go clean your room. Don't make light of that. It's true. Just as when the office bearers speak in the church of Jesus Christ in line with the Word of God, God speaks in the church. So when they speak in line with the Word of God, God speaks. When they rebuke you, in line with that Word of God, you must receive that as God Himself rebuking you. When you hear their words of commendation, works the other way too, you must hear God Himself commending you for your obedience to Him. When you bask in their love for you, you must know that you are basking in God's love for you through them. When you see mom and dad upset at you, rightly so, justly so, not if they're wickedly upset, if they're rightly upset with you and your rebellion and sin, you must see the anger of God in their red face toward you. When you talk back to them, you're talking back to God Himself, not just them. When you're angry at God. They represent God to you. I've tried to make a conscious effort handling it that way. I'm not always good at it, handling it that way with my own children. But if one of them gets angry at a legitimate, right thing that my wife or I tell them, say to them, "Do you realize it's not just me you're angry at? You're angry at God right now. God sets us over you. Your anger is at Him. Do you want to sit down right now and pray? Tell Him how angry you are at Him for putting this mom and dad in your home to tell you to do this." And they never want to sit down and pray that because they see the point. And the rebellion gives way. They realize they're standing before God. That's it. That's it, children. You honor them. You honor God by honoring them, for they represent God to you in that home. To honor them in that office God puts them in is not, though, to be afraid of them. Parents must expect and require their children to fear them in the sense of respect them, but not in the sense of be afraid of them. Sometimes there can be parents who love their power too much, who love to make their children scared of them and think that they're really working a deep respect and reverence in their children by doing that. They're not. And it's not a reflection of how God works a respect for Himself in us either. We are to honor our earthly father and mother as a reflection of how we honor our heavenly Father. And God doesn't parent us in a way that we're deathly afraid of Him every moment, but that we really honor Him and really respect Him and then love Him even as we honor Him. Honor and love are not opposites of each other. They must go together. In fact, it would be a great dishonor to God if we did not love Him as a Father, even as we revere Him and respect Him. Well, so too, children must love their parents, even as we reverence them. And parents must engender both respect, real respect, and love. Now, children, we're going to have to go against the pressure of a lot of what we see around us in the world, church world, in order to have this honor for parents, aren't we? What is your reaction when you see Johnny's mom tell him he may not have that toy that he wants? Johnny gets angry, says, "I don't care what you say, I want it." Do you think, "Wow, that's great. He stands up to his mom like that," or do you say, "How horrible a thing. Horrible a thing. He's dishonoring his mother. And I want to be different. Show something different." Do you think, teenager? Parents give a curfew, and your friend dishonors their parents under that curfew, says, I don't care what my parents tell me. Not going to do it. Does that excite you? Do you think that's the way to go? Stand up to the authority. Stand up to the man. Or does it make you say something wholly different to be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? I want to live antithetically, different, obedience to God's Word and honor my parents, and how I speak of them, what I say about them, even to my friends, and how I live. You're called to live antithetically. And here is going to be the chief point of the antithesis for you at this point in your life. Do you honor your parents? And do you then obey them out of the honor that you have for them? Honor and obey. To obey means three things. First of all, to obey means that because you honor them and the position that God Himself has given to them, that you listen to them. You listen to what they say. To obey, you first have to listen. You can't obey if you don't listen. And this is often where we fail, first of all, isn't it, children and teenagers? When it comes to putting the honor of parents into practice, we ignore them. Even think about something else while they're talking to us. If we honor them from the heart, we will first listen to them. And that implies, of course, then that the parents are teaching us and saying things to us, fulfilling the God-given calling of Deuteronomy 6:6-7. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Always instructing, always teaching, always pointing out, this is the way, this is not. This is the biblical reformed way that a person lives and understands and speaks and walks, thinks. This is not. This is what we do when we fall into sin. This is how to pray to God. This is how to rejoice before Him. This is how to react when someone wrongs us or things don't go our way. This is life in God's covenant, consistently, constantly teaching. And if the children are going to obey, they're going to first be listening to that. Secondly, obedience is then valuing what they say. Out of that honor that you have for them, the office that God has given to them, you value what they are saying. It's not in one ear and out the other. Because they are your parents, given to you by God, and because they have wisdom and understanding from Jehovah God, because they've lived a lot longer than you, been through things, and they've made some mistakes themselves, and committed sins, and repented and learned. They've studied God's Word for a long time in their life. They know the dangers. They love the church, and they know why they love the church. They know the way to go on certain things. They know the way to view certain situations. Value what God has given to them in the covenant of grace. Value their Word as your parents. By that means, you receive. If it's in line with God's Word, the Word of God to you at home too. Third, to obey is to practice then what your parents tell you. Do what they say. Whether it's to go brush your teeth, to say sorry to your sister, you ought not date that person, here's why. Practice what they are preaching. All of that is qualified, of course, by whether or not what they tell you matches up with the Word of Jehovah God. Obey them in the Lord means more than this, but first it means obey them in the Lord speaking through them. If what they tell you is what the Lord would tell you Himself, if they say something contrary to God's Word, it's not a way of wisdom, then don't obey, absolutely not. But apart from that, you must. And notice that the text does not say, honor them in the Lord and obey them in the Lord, but only obey them in the Lord. You honor them no matter what. You respect them because of what God has given them in that position. You respect them in your heart no matter what, even if they're sinning against you. And they will sin against you sometimes as parents. You still honor them. Even if they're telling you to do something contrary to God's Word, you still have a respect for them as your parents, even as you disobey, because it is against God's Word. But you obey them only in the Lord. To do that, we must resist then, children, teenagers, not only the world around us and its influence. We have to resist what's right in here, don't we? The desire that we have inside of us, which is to do the exact opposite of honor and obey. Have you not found that in yourself, children? A desire inside of you? We all have it. Do you have to learn to fight against it? On that level, you're not any different from us. We all have to learn that. And we all are doing that, called to do that. We join you in that battle against that old man, that desire to go our own way, to do what we want instead of what God commands. We're together with you there. God's will, God's commands always goes against that old man, and we have it just as much as you do. And we've all felt that old man in us in this series of sermons, children. It's not just you. And the command for husbands to lead their homes before the face of God. We feel that. It goes against the natural old man desire to be lazy or to do whatever we want or the exact opposite of that. The calling to wives to submit ourselves. It goes against what we want in the old man. The calling of fathers and mothers. They have to fight against the old man to fulfill that calling. The singles and childless and converts have to fight that old desire to stay in the corner and not give themselves to the church. We're all fighting the same thing, children, to heed God's Word in light of that old man that's against us. And we all began to fight that old man precisely where you're beginning to fight it right now, in that first calling to honor and obey your parents. A why do you have to obey them anyway? Your children like to ask why, don't you? Isn't that what children do? Why? Well, the Holy Spirit lets you ask why here tonight. Why? Why must we honor and obey our parents? In fact, the text even expects that you're going to ask that, wants you to ask that, which is why it gives two answers to you. Two answers. The first is very simple. Here's why. Because it is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. And then the apostle goes on to explain why it's right. It's right because God commands it. In verse 2, he quotes the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And what God commands is right. And really, that's in itself all the reason you need many times, children. It's right. It's right because God says so. Sometimes it's best to keep things simple, especially with children. And the inspired apostle keeps it simple for you children here tonight. Because it's right. That's what God says. Don't we as parents even do this naturally with our children sometimes when they ask us why they have to do something? Because it's right. Because God says so. Because I say so and God told you to obey me. Well, now you know that, parents, this is a biblical response to your children. It's the apostles' response to your children, too. And isn't that simple incentive for obedience also something very beautiful for the child of God? Don't always need to know more than that, do I? Even as an adult, just so long as I know it's the right thing. That's what matters. There's something beautiful, there's something wonderfully holy about that being the simple motive of obedience. That He says it's right. That should be part of the simple motive of our obedience in our own raising of our children, parents. What about that time when we're tired and we just want to skip devotions with the family this time? What's going to keep you doing it, Father? It doesn't have to be more complex than this for a child of God. It's the right thing to do. God says to do it. What about when the little one with her cute pigtails is not obeying, directly not obeying? People are over for 4th of July celebration. And your little one is outside with all of the bags of candy. And you say, no more candy, no more candy. And she looks directly at you as she grabs a handful of candy. But she's so cute. And everybody's there right now. What's going to give you to be faithful to her? And to be faithful to her is not to let it go. You despise her if you let it go, says Solomon in Proverbs. It's going to be the simple thought. You don't have time to produce in your mind a whole theology of this and that. It's going to be the simple thought. It's right. Take her hand, go in the house, and discipline. It's right. And we must teach them to obey for that reason too. God says you must honor and obey your parents, children. Your parents represent God to you in your home, not sinlessly, but they do. It's right to honor and obey. That's why you do it. You don't do it because your parents are so good and so gifted at being able to explain everything to you all the time so perfectly. Hopefully they're good, but not perfect. Not because they're always completely patient with you. They're not always going to be completely patient with you. Not because you always like what they're going to say, so it's easy to do anyways. You're not going to like what they say many times. But because it's right. And if we don't teach them to obey simply because it is right, and we don't discipline when they don't obey simply because it is right, what are we teaching them? We're teaching them the opposite. That it's right to disobey God's commands. That's how serious our failures are in disciplining as parents. It's not just that if we don't do this, then it's going to be a tough time for us when they get older. It's that we work against Him. We've taught them that it's right to disobey when it's right to obey. Simple as that. Second reason, children, the text gives why you must obey your parents. It's because you are in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. United to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you are in Him spiritually, united, one with Him, redeemed by His blood, regenerated by His Spirit, bound to Him by a mystical union in the bond of faith. And it's right that God's children respond to the Lord in gratitude for His goodness to them, to what He says, obeying what He says. The motive of the Reformed faith and all obedience is here for you children of the covenant too, even though it's hard sometimes. You say this, I love my Lord Jesus Christ, who came to save my soul from my sins and judgment, and I will show my love to my Lord Jesus Christ by obeying His representatives in my home, my parents. I'll seek to follow the way of that Lord to whom I'm united in His obedience. As Father, you say this, children, as Father, in my covenant home follows the example of Heavenly Father and His fatherhood in the covenant. As Mother, in my home follows the example of the Holy Spirit in His work in the covenant. So I, as a son or daughter, follow the Son made flesh, His work, the covenant of grace. His work was to be submissive to His Father in His life upon the earth. And ever was He. He was obedient to the will of His Heavenly Father, no matter how old He was, no matter the situation presented Him. He came, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 8, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He submitted to His will from the Father to go unto death. He came to die. Even in the garden when He asked if this cup could possibly pass from Him, He said, nevertheless, not my will but thine. He was submissive to His Father. All throughout His life He cried, not my will but thine. I've come to do thy will, O God, whatever it is. For it is right that a son would obey his father. Even when His Father's will was to obey His own earthly parents too, while He was under their sphere of influence. Luke 2, verse 51, and He went down with them, that is, His parents, Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And children, teenagers, He had created those parents by His own divine power. And those parents were sinful and He was sinless. And He still obeyed them and honored them. Obeyed them in the Lord. He disobeyed them if they told Him to do something against God's will. But obeyed them in the Lord and honored them. For it was right. It was God's law to Him. Even when He was out of His home, And as an adult, he honored his parents. The Apostle Paul says, in light of the fifth commandment, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And the Lord Jesus Christ provided for his own family. When he was on the cross, no less, he provided for his mother. He honored his mother. He gave his mother to John, and John to his mother. So now, the motive of the gospel of his redeeming of you, to follow his example, and with the power of his life in you, the life that he lived, children, teenagers, we can obey too. Not perfectly, as he can, but we can obey. He has covered our disobediences in his blood. He has imputed his perfect obedience and righteousness to our account, so that we're not guilty even for our sins and rebellions before him. And he doesn't stop there. He also fills you with his life. You're in him. You're in the Lord. So that you can begin to live after him, his life in you of obedience. So that as he lived as a 6-year-old, as a 12-year-old, as a 17-year-old, subject to his heavenly Father and to his earthly parents, he infuses that life into you by the Spirit. And that's why you are to do this. You are in the Lord. When by grace you do, God makes you to a very beautiful picture of that sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you show. It's what you display in your obedience to your parents. Something of the obedience of Jesus Christ to his heavenly Father, his earthly parents. What an astounding thing. What a blessing. What a privilege God gives to you as children in the church to show forth Christ to all the world as a child. This is a special privilege that is reserved for you as a child in the covenant in a special way at this time of your life. We all do that, of course, in obedience to the Father, but at this time in your life, you do it in a special way. Don't waste that time. Don't waste that privilege. You display that, a picture of Christ to all the world. And not even there, not even just there. You display it to the elect, yet unsaved, that you may be a picture to, but even the angels, Scripture says, even the angels in heaven are delighted, astounded in seeing this obedience in you. And they glorify God when they see it. The Apostle has already said in Ephesians 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that's the angels, the principalities and powers in heaven, to the intent that now unto them might be known by the church the manifest wisdom of God, that by what they see happening in the church, they see the wisdom of Jehovah God. That means then that the principalities and powers, the angels, children, stand in awe at the power and wisdom of Jehovah God when you in the church honor and obey your parents. They're absolutely amazed. They're amazed that God can do such a thing as this, that He can take a child with a rebellious nature that is living in the midst of a rebellious culture, and he can make that child honor and obey his parents. He can make that child different, totally. They stand in awe of what God does in you. They stand in awe that God makes you a reflection of his own Son. What a blessing, what a privilege to be such a monument as a child of God's wisdom and grace. By grace, children, teenagers, make the angels stand in awe in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. Show forth mighty wisdom and power of God works in you. It's a blessing. It makes you that. Secondly, a blessing is that in the way of this obedience will go well for you. The apostle points out here that the fifth commandment that he's quoting is the first and only commandment of the ten that has a promise attached to it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the promise. In New Testament terms, that means that it will go well with you spiritually in your life in the covenant of grace. In the way of dishonoring and disobedience, it's not going to go so well. Just look at examples that are around you. In the way of obedience, there is this blessing. You will take up life in the covenant, life in the church of Christ, with a certain dignity and a certain honor and a certain self-control, wisdom. Be an asset to the church. Be spared so much of the pain yourself, so much of the difficulty of the struggle of sin, consequences of sin in this way. And along this path, be led to live long on the earth. Not necessarily the earth as it is now, but especially the next new heavens and new earth. Blessed are the meek, said Jesus Christ in His Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, submissive. For they shall inherit the earth, new heavens and new earth, upon which you will live, and live so long that it will never, ever end. Not because you merited a place there by your obedience, but because Christ's work in those for whom He has merited that place is a work that leads them into submission to God's will, children of the church. May God make you different. And therefore a shining light in a world of darkness, of God's good way with the covenant home, of His wisdom and power. And may you be blessed in that way too. Amen. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to our hearts. Give us humility, submission, as we all grow together in that, for it is the great battle of life. And only by Thy grace may we fight and submit our will to Thee. In our Redeemer's name do we pray. Amen.